Well, good evening. I don't think this is working. Good evening. Ah, okay, everybody's good. All right, everybody have their afternoon nap? No. You didn't? Well, you're too young for an afternoon nap. I didn't either. I'm too young, too. But when I get old one day, I'll probably start taking them. Well, it's good to see everybody out tonight. You braved the cold weather. We had fun pulling out of our garage tonight. It was 59 in our garage, and we counted it down all the way to 35 by the time we got to the church building. So we'll be doing that. We'll be sitting up watching the thermometer tonight as we continue to drop. So my welcome to Kansas City, right? But I'm prepared. I got on a sweater tonight, so I'm going to keep warm. In fact, I may get too warm. I'm warm already. But we're glad you're back tonight for a study. We have guests with us, and we welcome you. And we hope the time we spend together will be profitable. It's already been profitable. We sung these songs. Pete, we've had a lot of teaching already in these songs. And Pete asked me what I was going to preach on tonight, and I told him, and so he picked songs that fit right with it. Don't you just love Pete and Diane? It's great having them with us. And what? Well, it is. You know it's true, all right? And they're adding a lot of value already to our church family here. And so good job. It's good to see Pete up here leading and singing. And where's my clicker here? And being a part. All right. I want to start out here tonight with a little bit of Latin. You know, I talked this morning about teaching. So don't say it out loud. But does anybody know what that Latin phrase portu means? If you do, raise your hand. Let me see. Oh, well, we're in for I'm surprised. You know what? You think you know what it means? Oh, okay. I thought maybe you did. All right. Well, this Latin phrase, portu, is the word, is the phrase from which we derive our English word opportunity. Now, here's the interesting derivation of this word. This was a phrase that was used in ancient times, and this is before modern sailing ships and deep harbors were built and that sort of thing. And so for a ship to dock, it had to wait for the flood of high tide and wait till the tide was high where the ship could come in. And of course, there's a small window of opportunity there for the ship to come in. And so this phrase was used when the ship could come in at high tide, portu. And through the years, we have developed this phrase that has to do with opportunity. Now, I want to tie that to a passage in Ephesians chapter 5, which is going to be our text tonight, where the Apostle Paul said, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I want to talk tonight about some opportunities that you may have. Now, some versions, and you talk about the idea here in this verse of being careful how you live. Some versions use the word time, and that is okay, and you maybe read from a version that uses that. But, you know, time and opportunity go together because they're opportunities. The flood has come in, the tide is high, and this opportunity flows in, but you may not have it very long, and it passes. Have you ever been in a situation where you had an opportunity to do something, to say something, to encourage someone, whatever, and you didn't take advantage of that, and it passed, and it's too late? Sure, we've all had that. And so I think that there are certain situations in our life, certain places we live, certain environments and circumstances we are in, certain things that we can, maybe jobs that we have or associations we have, certain times of the year that there are opportunities. I think in this time of year that we're in, as we end the year, that there are opportunities that may come along that if we are alert to them and open to them, that we can take advantage of the opportunity while the tide is high, because it will pass. The opportunity will pass, and we won't have that opportunity again, maybe ever, or maybe for another year. So that's what I want us to think about tonight. So let's think about three opportunities that we may have, all right? Number one, there are opportunities for doing. Opportunities for doing. The epitaph that Luke placed upon Jesus is a beautiful one. He said that Jesus went about doing good. Now, wouldn't you like to have that on your tombstone? That it just, there it is. Bob Harmon, he went about doing good. Now, I'm not trying to get you in the grave already here, Bob, but I'm just, wouldn't that, I like it. He went about, Bill Cielo, he went about doing good. That's a good epitaph. And that was the epitaph that Dr. Luke placed upon Jesus, that he went about doing good. Can that be said of us? Are we using our opportunities when the tide is high to go about doing good? See, Christianity is a religion of doing, isn't it? In James chapter 1, verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to talk to you a minute from my heart about this. I fear sometimes that if we're not careful among our fellowship, that we begin to think that we are blessed because of where we go. On Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and we go inside a church building. Well, let's see. It doesn't say it. Now, do I think we ought to assemble? Absolutely. I think we ought to assemble. But is this the be-all, end-all? I mean, what if we had someone said, oh, people don't come tonight, they missed a good opportunity. Well, that could be so. That very well could be so. But if this is a great opportunity, how about us come back tomorrow night? And Tuesday night, and Thursday night, and let's just come every day. Well, you say, well, now that might be a little bit much. That might be a little bit too much. But our tradition is that we have Bible study, Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, Wednesday night Bible study. And if a person does that, you know what we call them, Paul? We call them a faithful Christian. Now, they may not do a lick. But if they come over time, well, they're a faithful Christian. Now, I don't want to run you off where you don't come back next Sunday. I said, man, I'll come and he preached at me. But I want to tell you what, you can come inside this building every single service, the doors are open, and not be doing anything. I got one agreement on that, all right? Some of you are not looking at me real good. I'm smiling. Everybody all right? All right. Christianity is a religion of doing. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We don't get a lot of marks because, hey, you won't believe, Lord, how many sermons I've heard. I've heard 10,997 sermons in my lifetime. And the Lord might say, well, how many of them have you applied? What have you done about what you've heard? Christianity is a religion of doing. Peter said, well, this is the will of God. The what? The will of the church of Christ. Whoops, no, it doesn't say that. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, are a lot of foolish people from the world coming into this assembly? And, well, no, they're not. I don't see a lot. Once in a while, in fact, the ones that come in are usually not foolish. But in the world, there's a lot of foolish people, a lot of ignorant people, a lot of ungodly people, a lot of accusatory people, a lot of people that don't believe in Christianity. But you know how we put folks like that to silence? Because they see what we're doing. They see our actions. They see our good works. That's how we do it. And Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us go to church. Oh, no. Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do I need more verses on doing good? I mean, have we got that? That we are supposed to do good. We may have opportunities for doing. Now, you know most of the opportunities we have for doing good are outside this building. Dick, I'm afraid sometimes we've got the notion that all the opportunities for doing good is if I can serve the Lord. And why that people mean wait on the table, give a talk, lead in prayer, maybe preach a sermon when Ken's gone, teach Bible class. Well, those are good things, and we need people to wait in the public, and we do need that. I don't disparage that. Don't minimize that. That's important. That's pretty limited. That's limited to when we're in this building. Most of our opportunities, ladies and gentlemen, are individual opportunities for doing good. Monday and Tuesday and out on the job and in the club we belong to and where it is that we go, we have opportunities to do good. And I'm saying the tide is coming up. Now, you know what I'm talking about. You know it is. And there are opportunities. Kim McCoy mentioned me this morning about this, what's it called, Kansas City Rehab, right? All right. And I went down, some of you went, and we went down there in October, and that's a good opportunity. I'd never been there before, and Ken and Margaret County organized that and went down and had a little party, and it was wonderful. And here are people that are disadvantaged and disabled and have different kinds of physical and mental disabilities and so forth. And I got more out of it than we gave, I'm sure of that, to see the smile on these people's faces and to see their excitement, to give them a little, I started to say penny piece of candy. I guess there's no such thing anymore, but whatever a little tiny piece cost, a nickel or whatever it is now. But give them a little piece of candy and a cupcake and a little something to drink and go pat them on the back and shake their hand and ask their name. They want to show you something they're doing, and they're so proud of that, and to encourage them. You know, that's an opportunity for doing good. We're going to do that again, what, December 21? 21. I'm going to go down. We going to be in town? All right. I committed. And we're going to be here, aren't we, the 21st. Okay, that's good. I won't go down there, Lord willing. Now, you guys are involved in, and I didn't make that because I'm not much on cleaning. I did get your email that if you're not much on cleaning, you can come and talk. All right? And that's Hope Lodge. That's an opportunity for doing good. Okay? Geneva, where's Geneva? Sent out the email that I got, and this has to do with KC Rehab of donating books. Now, someone said, is that the work of the church? That's the work of Christians. That's doing good. And most of the opportunities we have are not necessarily something the elders are going to get together in the room and come up with this program and say, okay, everybody, let's all march. We're going to do good. And here we go. Most of them are going to be things that we come across. We went to eat at Bob Evans today. I had that big old breakfast they have where you get the gravy and the it was good. But anyway, we went and checked out, and the lady said, would you like to donate $1 to Something Harvest? Y'all know about Something Harvest? Huh?
Harvesters.
Harvester? Well, they feed people, they right? And I said, well, I'm not much of donating anything if I don't know what it is. And I asked, and this lady behind me told me what was a good thing. And I said, well, yeah. And then they sweetened the pot and gave me 2 free coupons for dessert. Now, I don't want to say that influenced me to donate $1, but it didn't hurt. Didn't hurt me. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunities, and you can't even get a cup of coffee for $1 unless it's McDonald's. Now, Wendy's will give it to you free if you're a certain age down here, okay. But most places you can't get a cup of coffee for $1, and I'm going to miss $1. And there are opportunities to do good, opportunities for doing things and sharing. We may go to the hospital, we may volunteer, someone may be sick and you may take them a casserole, or you may go clean their house, or you may mow someone's yard, or you may take someone to the doctor, or you may call a discouraged friend and say, let's go to lunch. There may be all kinds of things that you may do, but we have opportunities as the tide comes in and the tide is high to go do things, to do good. All right, that's one thing. Secondly, we have opportunities for giving. And I am specifically here, although I kind of morphed into that a teensy bit, but I want to talk more about financial things that we might do. Some things we just, we give of our time and we're involved and so forth, but other things take a few dollars And at different times in our lives, we have more money than others to do that. But the Bible talks about having discretionary income to be able to help. Let him that stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So we work, and one of the reasons we work and earn an income is to be able to give to people that have need, to help other people that are less fortunate. Now, I recognize that from a collective standpoint, as a ecclesia, as a church, that we take up a collection every Sunday. And out of that, ministry is done, and besides supporting the gospel and edification, there's benevolence that comes out of that. And we have done benevolent work since I've been here in the past 5 months. We've done benevolent work in helping people that are members of the Hickman Church. And we have sent money to another country where there were brethren that were destitute. I know one case we've done that. And so we do good through our collective contribution. And so on the first day of the week, we set aside a sum of money in keeping with our income. And Paul said to do that, that was a specific need then, that Paul was going to pick up this collection and take it to the poor saints. And so that's one way we can do that. But we're not limited to that because we don't necessarily have every week and all the time things like that. And so we are faced with these things, maybe even on a daily basis. In fact, I'll be honest with you, and you're probably the same way. I'm given more opportunities than I'm able to fulfill as far as donating things, because people call you all the time and want you to donate money. I kind of don't do that over the telephone. That's just me, because you never know about it. I like to. If I give a dollar to something, I like to think that the bigger part of that dollar is going to that charity, and not read later where it took 85 cents to, run the machinery, and 15 cents went to do the good. So I personally want to try to give the dollar that's going to do the most good. And I think that's being a good steward. But anyway, that's me. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Some of that is done collectively, some's done individually. I know any number of people, they don't need to go to the elders and say, we got so-and-so in need. They just reach in their pocket and pull out a 20 or 100 or whatever, and they just help them. There are folks here through the years that have done that sort of thing. And that is giving to those that have need. Paul warned those that were rich not to be haughty or trusting in certain riches, but in the living God who gives richly to all things to enjoy them. He said, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The key there is ready to give and willing to share. Did you get that? Ready to give and willing to share. And he's talking specifically about our financial resources. That we're not selfish. We're not just storing it up like the rich man, that Jesus talked about in the parable for himself, and tearing down his barns to build greater barns so he can amass a great amount of wealth. That we're not only supporting our families and doing good that way, but we're helping other people. That we are ready to give and we are willing to share. And so opportunities come along, whether it is a dollar that they ask you for at Bob Evans, or whether it's some charity that you might believe in. And there are a lot of charities that do good. Let me just share some, because I think there's a misconception a lot of times that people think, I'm not wealthy, and I don't have, that's for people that have a lot of money to support these charities and do this stuff. Tonight, if you're a mind to, you could go somewhere before you go home after the service and spend $100. Everybody agree, that'd be pretty easy in this day and age, right? You go to Walmart and drop $100. In fact, you go to the grocery store and drop $100 and carry it out in one hand, just about. So $100 is not so. In fact, you can fill your car up maybe and spend $100 or your van. But so $100 is not too hard. Let me tell you what, and these are all facts that I have researched through charitable groups. Let me tell you what $100 can could do if you were mine to donate it to the right organization. $100 will feed a child in Nicaragua for a month. $100 buys oral polio vaccine for 150 children in Chad. $100 will provide a grant for a landmine victim in Cambodia and will purchase fishing nets and a boat to feed a family. $100 will pay tuition and books for 1 year of school for two children in Kenya. 1 year for two school children in Kenya. $100 will buy and distribute 25 Bibles in remote parts of the world. $100 will restore sight to three blind people in India through cataract operations. That's almost hard to believe, isn't it? But it's true. In India, won't hear, but it will in India. $100 will provide mosquito netting for 35 people in Bangladesh to prevent the spread of malaria. $100 will help 30 deaf children in the Gambia by purchasing carpentry tools for a vocational workshop. And $100 will supply textbooks for an entire elementary school in Zambia. So there are opportunities out there to do good by giving. And so we as Christians, and someone said, well, what's this got to do with us here at Hickman Mills Church of Christ? Everything. See, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We uphold the truth. We teach the truth. We encourage Christian living, don't we? And so all of it, as I've said already now, this will be my third time on this, I won't say anymore. It's not all done inside this building. Most of our Christian living is done, and you know what I've kind of discovered? That's the hardest part, is Christian living outside the building. About you, have you noticed that? It's pretty easy for me to be a Christian in this building because I got all of you to encourage me. If you can't be a Christian inside this building with other people, then you need more help than I can give you. You need some professional help somewhere. We need one-on-one consultation. But it's hard on Monday and Tuesday, isn't it? And Friday night sometimes. Huh, guys? It can be hard on Friday night to be a Christian sometimes when you're out with folks, or Saturday night. That's when it's tough sometimes to be a Christian. And so we're called upon these other times to do and to give. These are opportunities that we may have. Well, then the third opportunity we'll talk about in a few minutes is opportunities for sharing. And you may say, well, Ken, you've already talked about sharing. That's sharing. Well, this is kind of a metaphor for me to put it in a way that's very palatable. You know, some things are not as palatable if you just say them. And so I'm trying to make this palatable for all of us. All right, we getting where we can swallow this now? All right. Sharing our faith. Sharing the gospel. Sharing the good news. There are opportunities there. Now, we talked this morning about Jesus, a teacher. He came to this world to seek and save that which was lost. Philippians 1:8, Paul said, talking about the teachers that were teaching with the wrong motives. And he said, what does it matter? The important thing is that in everywhere, whether they're from false motives or true, that Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. I rejoice when Christ is preached. Now, I want to be careful that I'm not misunderstood on this point, because I want to say what I mean and what I don't mean and in between. All right. I recognize fully that there are people that preach a lot of good things about Jesus that fall short of preaching the entire gospel. And I disagree with that. I think they should preach the entire gospel. I think they're wrong not to teach the entire gospel. All right? And there are people that are affiliated with groups that are doctrinally doing things that it seems to me from the Bible are just not correct. And I don't endorse that. Okay, now everybody's got where I'm at on that. But you know what I do rejoice in this secular society that we live in, this hedonistic society, this society that curses God and hates Jesus. I tell you, I got to rejoice when someone's saying good things about my Jesus. I may not agree with everything else they're saying or doing, and I may not be able to have fellowship with them in some of these things, but I tell you what, I'm glad to hear them talk about Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes when you find someone that cares about Jesus, it gives you an opportunity to share your faith with them because they love Jesus, and maybe they're like Apollos in the book of Acts. They need to be taught more perfectly the way of the Lord. Are there opportunities like that of people that are seekers, that care about good morals, that care about living right, that care about the kind of values that we care about right here? They care about biblical values. And there could be opportunities to come along and to be able to share with these people our faith. Peter put it this way, he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason, the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, I was quoting from another version. I see the word defense is in that version. Defense or answer, same thing. That you give an answer, that you give a defense. In other words, you're able to tell what you believe and why you believe it. Now, that doesn't mean that you got to explain the book of Revelation or get in here in depth on the Holy Spirit like we've been trying to do in this class. Didn't mean you got to be able to do that. But if you're a Christian, can't you tell someone what you did to become a Christian? If you're a member of the Lord's church, can't you share with them what Jesus did for you and died on the cross to make it possible to have a called out body of people that you can be a part of this fellowship? I think we ought to be able to do that. I think the Lord wants us to be able to do that, and that we look for opportunities that we can share our faith, that we can share the good news with other people. You know, someone said the problem today with a lot of Christians is that they're just keeping the faith. And that's all they're doing. They're keeping it. They're just keeping it. All right? And they're not sharing it. And so we need to share it. And so at a time when the tide may be high, and there may be some opportunities if we got our antennas up and our eyes open and are perceptive, there may be opportunities to invite people to come into worship with us. We're going to be talking about Jesus the rest of the month. Maybe opportunities for that. Maybe opportunities for studies. There were some young people this morning that brought some of their friends. Brought their friends. I stood right back there in front of the AV equipment. It's right back there where John is. And she said, my friends have some questions. And I said, well, great. And I introduced myself and met them and talked to them a little bit. And I said, well, what's your questions? And they had three or four really good Bible questions about what we do and why we do it and just a couple things. And so I don't know what will come of that, but we answer the questions and they seem very satisfied with the answers, and I invite them back and let them know that, hey, be glad to study with you. But here is a young lady, I don't know how old she is, but she brought two young friends. And you know, a lot of times see this with these young people, they do, now older people, I'm gonna tell you, we can learn from the young people. They put us to shame a lot of times. Because they're not ashamed to bring their girlfriend or some buddy of theirs that they go to school with or play ball with or what, and they bring them. And we need to be sharing our faith. Bring them in. Set up studies. There's nothing I like better than get a call from someone that say, Ken, can you help me with a study? I've got someone that's got some questions. Will you help me? I'll be glad to help you. I'll be glad to help you. But when the opportunity comes along, you need to be ready to share. Now, let me close with this little thing that kind of wraps this up and makes it interesting, I think, to me, when you think about this whole idea of sharing. Shakespeare took the background of Oportu. Now, that goes back a few years, all right? But some of you that are into English literature will remember this. And he took the exact meaning of Oportu and he turned it into one of his most famous passages. It's from Julius Caesar, Act 4, Scene 3. And you'll recognize, I think most of you, the lines when I read it. And here it is. There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea we are now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves or lose our ventures. Wow. I wonder if that could be said right now, at this time, and at this place, in Kansas City, Missouri, at the Hickman Mills Church, with this group of people? Could it be there is a tide in the affairs of men, in the affairs of this community, in the affairs of this congregation, and our personal affairs, that there is a high tide, and if taken, it's going to lead on to fortune, but if we miss it, it's going to lead to misery? And there it comes. There's the opportunity, Oportu, and we got to rise to the occasion, ladies and gentlemen. We got to latch on to the opportunity. We got to take it at high tide, because if we miss it, there won't be another chance. Not on that one. Not on that one. And there may be a never, never another one again. May God bless us as Christians that are here tonight to seize the opportunities that come before us. Bow with me as we pray for a moment. Righteous Father, I thank you so much for this Lord's Day that you blessed us with. The opportunities we've had to worship and exalt and praise your holy name. The opportunities for Bible study and to learn about your Holy Spirit. The opportunities to preach about Jesus and to be able to share from your word who he is and what he's done and what he means in our lives. And Father, just the opportunity to think about opportunity and to realize that we're at a time and a place where opportunities abound. Help each one of us individually, whether we're preachers or teachers or elders or deacons or moms or dads or young people, whoever we are, Father, just help us that we might be aware of the rising tide of opportunity and to ride it to fortune and to your glory to be able to take advantage of it and bless not only your work, but bless our church family and to bless us individually. We ask these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, and amen. Well, that's our study for tonight. We're going to close with a song. Pete, what's our song? Trust and obey. Well, that's a good one. Trust and obey. So if we kind of apply that to this lesson, didn't say just trust. Trust and trust. No, trust and obey. And so we take what we've learned tonight and trust it so from God's word and go out and put it into practice and become what we need to become. It may well be in our invitation tonight. There may be things that we've said in our study that kind of make you think, you know, I haven't been alert and aware to opportunity. I've neglected opportunity. And maybe it's personal, you only know in your own heart. And as we sing in just a moment, the greatest response may be right where you stand. Because you may just say a little prayer, Lord, forgive me for neglecting opportunities and help me right now to do better from this day forward. If you need to say that prayer, I hope you will. If you've wronged the Lord in a public way, you need the prayers of this church family and would come and let us lift you, we'd be glad to do that, minister to you. Could be that you're here not a Christian. And while we haven't addressed that issue tonight, if through faith and repentance and baptism and previous study, you know what that means to make that kind of commitment. There is an opportunity tonight as we encourage you to trust and obey while together we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of